getting so quiet. Quiet. Wow, what power. Wow. Merry Christmas. There you go. Make noise. It's great to have you. It's good to see you. As you entered in, how many of you have a candle? Yes, if you didn't get your candle, just head to one of the doors back there. They'll give you a candle. How many of you lit your candle? Ushers, escort them out. Escort them out. There you go. Wait. You will light your candles later, and we'll darken the house lights. It'll be a sweet, sweet time. How many of you have been practicing Silent Night? One of our favorites. We're going to sing that as we close the service. We welcome you here to Open Arms Church as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. We're glad that you are here. If you are a guest, meaning it's your first time, your second time with us, we're especially glad that you're here. We have a gift for you, right? It's Christmas. Actually, if you come on any Sunday, we would give you a gift, but especially tonight, when you leave tonight, if you would just walk through the cafe, those doors there, there'll be some friendly people at a welcome booth, and they're going to hand you a gift bag saying, thank you for being here, Merry Christmas. If you have a question, they'll be glad to answer that question. There's a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you, to the right or to the left of you. If you want to fill that out and let us know, you being here, maybe you have a question, maybe you have a burden. You know, Christmas can be a tough time. We are carrying loss. There's challenges. There's difficulties. Things have arisen maybe in your life this week, this month. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. You fill out that card, any information you're comfortable in giving to us. There is a little box at the welcome booth in the cafe. Drop that in there. One of the pastors will follow up with you personally and privately to look to encourage you, answer your question. But we're glad that you are here. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Hopefully you have a program. You'll be able to follow along the service, what's happening. There's a text that we'll be looking at later as we've been in a series about God's promises and God keeping his promises. And we'll be looking at a special text tonight. So I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to have this choir sing some wonderful music. You'll be singing too to God, for he is our audience. Father, it's good to come and to say thank you for this season because you gave a gift. You sent your son. Jesus, thank you. You came willingly because we had a need deep within our hearts, and we were all ignorant of that need until you opened up our heart and our minds. So we worship you tonight. We seek you tonight with family, with friends, and maybe this is our first time here. We don't know anyone, Lord, that we would leave this place confident that we're known by you and you guided us here. So we celebrate Christ, the reason why God, you became incarnated, took on flesh, was because of great love for us and our great need. So we seek you, we worship you, be glorified in our thoughts, in the words that come from our mouth, and especially as we open up your word and, Lord, consider what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with us and sing?
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to God.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne.
He shall reign forevermore.
Gathered here to praise you, to, as the song says, Lord, to glorify you, to adore you. Lord, as we open the Bible, Lord, help us to understand in a fresh way what you've done at Christmas. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for this opportunity to gather. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat?
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. And you're a choir. That's one of the things we love here, is that when our worship team sings, it's all of us singing together, an audience to an audience of one, God Himself. You know, all gifts are purchased, right? Wrapped, already under the tree. There you go. Nobody late. Night, Christmas shopping. You know, I have a reputation in my family of being the guy who just won't receive gifts that my family thinks I will love or that I need. I don't know what it is, but I just say, no thanks, I won't need that. You can return it. When my son-in-law, Will, you know, when he first started dating Victoria and started coming to Christmas and birthdays. I mean, he was astonished. Like, what? He heard me say, no thanks. That can go back. And one time he turned to Victoria and he said, are you hurt? That was kind of rude of what your dad just did. And she said, are you kidding me? This is a good year. He's keeping something. I only have to return two things. You know, I'll just share a couple of illustrations. My 40th birthday, my wife, in a card, is a contract for a brand new Mustang convertible for my birthday. And I look at that, and I go, for real? Obviously, I handle the finances in the home. So she just went. She knew she had a 72-hour window. And I said, honey, a convertible is just too outlandish for a preacher. And so I got to say, no, I can't drive that convertible. Well, any of you who knows me knows what I've been driving the last 10 years. It's not a convertible Mustang, but it is a convertible. And then there was that year that my wife connected with a gentleman in our church who worked for a mobile company, and she presented two new cell phones and says, honey, we now have cell phones. No, we don't. They're going back. When will we ever use cell phones? And they went back. And then there was a summer, we think about 12 years ago. The last gift, she said, you have to help me get it out of the back of the van. I can't carry it. And what is this? I went back and there it was, a snowblower still in the box. And I'm thinking, I'm glad we exchanged gifts early that Christmas Eve. Home Depot was still open. It went back. And I said, nope, don't need it. Not going to use it. It was like 3 or 4 years later, a couple of nor'easters later, and I think a couple of almost heart attacks when trying to get that snow at the end of the driveway, where I finally said, okay, now I'm on my second snowblower. So I'm that guy. When people perceive, boy, he would love this, he has a need for this, I have often said, no, not me. Do you know at Christmas time, as we reflect on the Christmas story, it's all about God saying, I'm giving you a gift. I'm sending you someone whom you need a lot. You need who he is and what he's going to accomplish you more than any other gift. And too often, we're like John Mulligan. No. I don't have that need. I'm fine. Me and God are good in the way we are good. I've done my time. This would be me saying, I did my 8 years of parochial school, my 4 years as an altar boy. Me and God are good. I don't need Jesus as a personal Savior. But you know, God, like my family, has been very patient, and normally I acquiesce to the thing they know I would love and that I would need. God was long-suffering toward me. And as I look around this room, he's been patient with you because I know many of your stories just like you know my story. And some of you I don't know, but this Christmas, could our ears and our heart be attentive one more time to this gift that God has given humankind because we have a great, great need, forgiveness of sin. That's why he came. That's why he came so vulnerably. That's why he came in such a miraculous way. Because he had to be God to do what he did because our need was so great. The text I'm going to be sharing with you tonight is the Christmas story from Matthew's perspective as God's Spirit inspired him to write in these few verses. Last week, we saw on Sunday, what's in a name? And we looked at the prophet Isaiah, and he spoke about this one who would come, the Messiah who would come. And he would be called Wonderful Counselor. Man, is Jesus an incredible counselor. He will be called Mighty God, because you know what? Jesus is God. You need something supernatural to occur in your life? Jesus is God. And then he's Everlasting Father. You need someone to come alongside and to protect, to provide, to care, to always be there like an everlasting father. That's Jesus' promise. But he also will be called Prince of Peace. In a world, in a day, in a season, when there's such chaos, unrest, fear, anxiety, anger, we all say we want rest. And we think rest is, if everybody will just see it my way, then I'll have the peace. It's never going to happen. But Jesus says, no matter the chaos, the darkness, the anger, the division, I am the Prince of Peace. I will reside in you. I, from the inside, will help you to handle what's coming at you from the outside with my presence. That's where peace comes in. And then this week, what's in a name? We're going to see he's given another name. Jesus goes by a lot of names. And we're going to see he goes by another name. His most important name because of the significance of your need and my need. Let's pay attention. Read along with me silently. I'm going to read aloud from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It's there in your program if you want to follow along. And then three takeaways. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The first takeaway, you see it there, Jesus' birth was both divinely orchestrated and ordained. This surprised Mary, for sure, and Joseph, but not God, and not even Jesus, who came so vulnerably and came as an infant, an embryo, in the womb of a young woman, young girl even. At that time, it was legal to marry in the Middle East, and particularly in Israel, at 12 years old. She could have been 12, 13, 14. Joseph, a little older. And here you notice that it even, there's an interchange that about Joseph and Mary, him taking him as his wife, and yet she wasn't his wife yet. He was betrothed to her, and in that culture, betrothal, engagement, was as good as marriage. It was a contract. It wasn't marriage, but to get out of betrothal, you had to write a divorce decree to get out of that. So there was a commitment that they had made. And we see here that God was saying, the time has come. The prophet wrote about this 740 years ago, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and it would be Emmanuel, God with us, God becoming present, God becoming flesh. You see, God would show up at different times in history in the body of a human, but he did not become a human being in all his form. He would talk, he would present himself, whether it be to Abraham or to Joshua or to others. At times he would come as an angel of the Lord, and they knew, boy, this was someone who was holy, this is God, and they would bow down and worship. But here, he was coming differently. At a very exact time in history, God was sending his son. Do you realize, you being here tonight, I don't know what got you here. Maybe a Taurus, maybe a Jeep, but somebody bribed you, come to church with me. But you can look behind the veil. God ordained it. God has a plan for you. God loves you. And he wanted you to be in this place here tonight to be reminded one more time. And if you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, he wanted you to just take it in. This is what Christmas is all about. Your great need and my great gift to you, because I love you. And it's a grace gift. And you don't have to earn it. But I love you that much, I presented it to you. Ordained and orchestrated. God worked in and through people's lives to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. And so here we have Mary being pregnant in a miraculous way by the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine having a conversation with Joseph? I'm pregnant, Joseph. Her, maybe with a little excitement, and him going, what? How could you do this to me? Really? I thought we loved each other. Because right away he's thinking, you stepped out of our engagement. We were saving each other to honor God. And now you're telling me you're pregnant. Joseph, it's okay. It's of God. It's by the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. Thanks, Mary, for clearing that up. He wasn't buying it. Just like nobody in this room would be buying it. And so we find him struggling in that, exhausted in that. And he finally fell asleep. And the Lord appeared to him as an angel and said to him, "It's true, Joseph. The time has come. That which the prophets had spoken about and prophesied about, the Messiah is coming, and it's coming this way to your fiance. And Joseph, you're a part of this. Because you know what, Joseph? Look what line you're from. You're from the tribe of Judah. And we know from Judah came King David. And we know God made a promise that the Messiah would come from the line of King David. And there would be a ruler from David forever and ever and ever. And you, Joseph, are from David. And so you are chosen specifically to be the one who would care for God's son, provide for him, to protect him, to feed him, to teach him your trade, Joseph. So you take this young woman that you're betrothed to, don't have relationships with her yet, but marry her, and then you're going on a trip to Bethlehem. It's going to be a hard trip. So what do you say, Joseph? And then we see his response in verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he gathered his buddies, called his parents, opened up to the horoscope that was there in the newspaper, and said, "Well, let me see. What do you think, folks? Here's a dream I had." He didn't. Quite amazingly, he didn't. What does it say? When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. You see, Jesus' birth was dependent on human beings. It was dependent on their obedience. You know, God has a plan for your life. Scripture says it's a good plan. In his heart, mine, it's a perfect plan. It's a plan that's going to bless you. And your life is going to be a blessing to others. He says, when you seek me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, when you seek me, I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'll show that to you. And then you will have the opportunity to walk out like Joseph did and obey me or not. He goes, I want you to. It's part of the good, perfect plan. But there's something about resolving in our heart ahead of time. When God speaks, and he speaks through his word. You know what scripture says in Hebrews? He doesn't speak through angels and dreams anymore like he used to. Not even close. It says, he now speaks through his son, Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, Jesus declared himself. He's saying, I'm the word who became flesh to dwell among you. And you and I speak words because we have something to say to somebody. And God says, I have something to say to you. So I've given you some words. So I speak to you today through my word. There are so many things that will look to keep you from opening up this word regularly. Because God says, my plan is in there. My good, perfect, and pleasing will for your life is in here. To know, should you turn right or to your left? Turn left. Take her, take him? Yes or no? That job, that school, that job. He goes, I'll direct you. And he says, how I direct you? Through my word. Through Jesus, who authored this word. Who we saw last week says, I'm sending you my spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be your counselor, to be your teacher. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And when you open up this word and you come, not with an agenda, but with an open heart, said, speak to me, God. Speak to me. He will. And he will begin to unfold for you his good, perfect, and pleasing will for your life. And God says, then respond. Spring up. And can I tell you, most of the times, his heart, his mind is going to be opposite and different than what you've been thinking all along. And certainly opposite and different than what the culture around us would tell us what you ought to be doing to make yourself happy and to have a successful life. But when you obey him and you agree with him, what happens internally? It's like this incredible pat on the back. This, well done, daughter. Well done, son. I'm so proud of you. Let's go. You sought me in my word. You heard. You prayed. And then you did. You followed through. And all of a sudden comes this, I'm here. And then we see what the plan was all along. Because often we want to say, well, tell me, what are the things that are going to happen if I say yes? Ooh, imagine Joseph asked that. Mary asked that. Would they have signed up? Would they have jumped ahead? Well, 33 years from now, this baby who you took care of, provided for, cared for, loved, who was perfect, harmed no one, the community is going to cry out for him to be crucified. He's going to be hanging naked from a cross and his flesh ripped from his body. He's going to die a terrible death. But you know, God's saying, that's ordained too. That's on purpose too. Because I have a plan. And your greatest need, Joseph, Mary, every single one of us in this room, every single person on the planet, your greatest need cannot be taken care of. Not until Jesus' birth, but until his death, burial, and resurrection takes place. Then he says, forgiveness is available, if you would believe that. And then that leads us to our last takeaway. It's Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection that delivers us from our biggest obstacle to God. And that's our rebellion. The word sin literally means missing the mark. God has a bullseye, and we're always missing it. Some of us get pretty close, and so we fall into the trap of, hey, I'm better than him or her. Look how close I am. But God says, excuse me, here's what you need to be thinking, living, acting every second of every moment. Here's perfection. He says, you don't come close, you never will, nobody ever has, except Jesus. So he says, that's why every one of you needs the gift. Every one of us needs this Christ and his work on the cross. In Acts chapter 4, you see in the bottom of your program, there's a small clip here of a two-chapter occurrence that happened after Jesus had already gone to the cross, been resurrected. His apostles and the rest of those who were coming to faith were sharing with others about this wonderful gift of Jesus. And Peter and John saw a man who was paralyzed, lame from birth, at a place where he always begged. And he begged when he saw them coming. And they said, fellow, look at us. Silver and gold have we not, but that which we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. Never walked before in his life. And all of a sudden, his legs, his knees, his ankles, his ligaments, his sinews just came to be. And he began to walk. Everybody knew this guy, because he was placed by his friends and his family at this beggar's hole every day. He went running into the temple, praising God. People knew him. And then all of a sudden, it led to opportunities for Peter and John to preach Jesus. People began to believe on Christ because of what they had seen, and now what they were hearing. My goodness, he is the Messiah. We yelled, crucify him. We were wrong. And in that moment, forgiveness came to them. Shame, guilt washed away. Hope and help were theirs. Well, there were some folks who were pretty upset about that. They were the religious leaders. And they called Peter and James, and they said, who do you think you are? And by what authority was this done? And that's where we pick it up here in verse number 7 of Acts chapter 4. They said, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name Jesus, given to him at birth by his Father, which means God's salvation. The name Jesus comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, which means God's salvation. Quite significant, presented. Jesus is God's salvation. And here we see he's the only one who can provide for us forgiveness to God. I'm glad that you're here today, tonight. But coming to church doesn't provide salvation. It doesn't. God's not now giving a check mark and saying, there you go, 107 more check marks, and then we'll talk. You know what? He's saying Jesus fills all the check marks. But the belief is you staking your life on Jesus. And when you stake your life and you say, I surrender my life to Jesus and believe what he did, you and I know very well that word surrender, that kind of belief, you're saying, okay, I'm yielding control. That's where faith comes in. Am I really willing to believe God that Christmas is all about him sending his son to go to a cross because I need, and that's the only way I can experience forgiveness? If I believe that was done for me 2,000 plus years ago, when you say yes, and you exhale and say, I believe by faith alone at what Jesus did, and him coming was for me personally, God says at that moment, that which he has been waiting, that which he has already ordained for you, happens. It's like the vault is open and says, there you are. Forgiveness, God's grace is yours. Let it flood you, because it happens once. It's called spiritual birth. Every one of us has a physical birth date. God says, I want you to have a spiritual birth date. And it comes by faith when you trust in Christ. He says, at that moment, my spirit comes alive in you. I will give you peace. I will give you assurance. This word will become alive to you. and you can begin to walk with me in a personal journey. And it started at Christmas. Actually started way before that, because God promised it was going to happen. And he was going to send a Savior. He just surprised everyone when it was like, oh my goodness, it's him, himself, coming. And not a conqueror and a human being. This Christmas, that name, God's salvation, is he yours? He can be. Believe on him by faith alone. That's a grace gift. I dare say you purchased some gifts this season. Gifts that you thought somebody would really love. Or they would really need it. Maybe something practical. What compelled you to do that? Love. Person's important to you. Don't be a knucklehead like me. Oh no, I don't need that. Take it back. But this is God saying this gift didn't come from cash in my bank account. I gave my son all the way. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no releasing of the debt. That's what the whole Old Testament sacrificial system is all about. Symbolic. Leading to the Lamb of God, Jesus, who would take away the sin of the world. And he says, because I love you this much, there's nothing you can do. You're going to top that to make yourself good with me? You mean I didn't need to do that? Because your way, your thinking, your religious ideas, your spirituality is okay to have an audience with me and forgiveness with me? I didn't need to do that, but I did it. So one of us is mistaken. One of us is wrong. Dare I say, without insulting you, it's us. He's right. And he extends to you that gift tonight, Jesus. Forgiveness, surrender and belief. And then let him lead. Let him lead. And see the journey he takes you on. Join me in prayer. Father, you know the precious souls. You know the hearts. You know what each person comes into this place here tonight carrying. You know our sin. And you love us so. One of the most dramatic, incredible scriptures tells us that. And God extended his love towards us in this way. While we were yet still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Wow. So Lord, as this truth of your word just comes over every precious heart in this room tonight, you know where we are with you. And Lord, I pray each one will hear you knocking at that door. And they will hear your voice calling them by name and saying, this is true. I was birthed. I came to go to a cross for you. To forgive. To pay a debt you couldn't pay. I was willing to pay it. Will you believe that? Do you believe that? Because do you believe that you have sin in your heart? And there's no way that can be cleansed any other way. And that you can be made right with God. I came to mediate peace between the Father and yourself. I'm the one who brokered it by giving my life. Jesus, thank you. And may every heart consider and weigh that truth. And walk out of here, those who are already your children, refreshed, remembering, exhilarated, reflective. And maybe tonight, for someone, for the first time, that peace, that presence of Christ enters into their life. They sense the guilt and the shame, the wounds self-inflicted, the wounds inflicted by others. Healing begin to take place because that is who you are. The deliverer, the rescuer, the healer, the helper that we need, you, Christ. Because they've responded by faith to you. What a wonderful Christmas, and what a wonderful tomorrow will be because of what you've done and what they have believed. Thank you for that gift. Have your way now, even as we sing, even as we reflect. May our hearts be inclined towards you. You're worthy. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. You know, there's another name that Jesus uses to identify who he is. He shares a lot of names about himself, but in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We have this one candle lit, symbolic of Jesus. And as I step down and some others are going to join me, light their candles, it's just a picture of Jesus being that light of the world. And when he says the world, he's speaking about people. And hopefully he's your light, your personal light. And so in a few moments, these lights are going to go down until every light is off, except maybe one or two. And then as these candle bearers come down an aisle, they're going to light the last candle on a row. They're going to hold theirs straight. You're going to turn yours this way. And then your neighbor is going to turn theirs way because you're going to hold yours straight. And they're going to turn their candle, and light their candle. You feel confident about that? Is everybody next to you a responsible person that can handle that? Yes, a lot of nervous laughter. Okay. That's all right. Let's do it. Lights?
Would you stand and let's sing together Silent Night. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Just our voices. As you came, being born as a baby in a feeding trough to grow, to die for us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, may we draw near this Christmas and every day after and lean on you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we bring the lights up, ask you to just blow your candle out gently. Keep it straight. I encourage you to keep it straight because that wax will still be hot and wet. And on your way out, there's some baskets. You can just drop that candle in as you go. Thank you for being with us tonight. Merry Christmas. And have a great night and tomorrow. God bless you.